You might like to turn in your Bible, if you would, to the Gospel of John and chapter 17. And perhaps we can look to the Lord in prayer. And our God and Father, we thank you for thy word. Take it and help us to understand that we might be able to withstand. And our God, we're going to thank you. Thank you very much. In Christ's name, amen. In the light of the days in which we live, if you would recall, in having and exercising God's will, the 12 spies in Numbers chapter 13, the 12 spies were to go into the land and to spy out the land, to survey it, and they discovered the walled cities, they discovered the giants, they discovered the army and the chariots of iron, etc., etc. And it was a formidable foe, to say the least. Now, so when they come back, that is no problem to 10 of them, but it is no problem to 10 of them. They aren't going to go. But for 2 of them, they see a wonderful sense of victory, a sense of God sending them, and the obstacles, the opponents, are no problem. Chariots and giants and walled cities are no problem at all. No problem to a bunch of slaves. No problem for God. Now, having said that, in the light of that, here we are, and God, whenever you want, pursue God's will. On planet Earth, you are in the domain, providence, in the domain of the God of this world, the prince of the power of the air. That's his territory. From start to finish, from top to bottom. So if you're trying to say which part isn't his, you have one job trying to find it, because it's all his. It's his territory. Now, having that and keeping that in mind, if you would, in John chapter 17, the Lord Jesus Christ came into that territory, an evil and adulterous generation, etc., and they crucified him. So, now God, you're going to send us, right? So now, and just reminding you, in the light of that, in verse 14, I have given them thy word, and thy world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. So the world is a system which is everywhere, isn't happy with that. Relationship, verse 15. I pray not that thou should take them out of the world, but that thou should keep them from the evil one. So you're going to be left in the world of evil and darkness. David walks in the valley of deep darkness, and he's surrounded by evil, but God is with him. So, here is our Lord sending us in verse 18. As thou hast sent me, God to the Father, God the Son, and his perfect humanity to God the Father, as thou hast sent me unto the world, into the world, even so also I send them into the world. So he is sent into the world, and we represent him in the world. That's our assignment. So therefore, here we are living, and what kind of world are we living in? Well, in the process, here we are, and it's our time, it's our turn. In his times, these times, it's our lot, and our lot is in our lap. It's our world. It's where we live, what we eat and breathe and live 24 hours a day in it. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, all of that, what are we facing? Well, we're facing something that wasn't before, And just to remind, in case, I know most of you are all up to par and everything, so but to remind you, in case you aren't, because we need to be, we can't go out against chariots and giants and walled cities unless we have a unity among us, or we're going to be very vulnerable. So we have to have an understanding of what we're up against, realistically. But we also want to have, I'll pick it up, the understanding of why we're here. We're left here. We're in it, but not of it, to bear witness to his wonderful person. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so here we are, and God's word is being outworked. That's God's will is being outworked in history. History has to fulfill all that God intended it, and we are in the process of that being fulfilled and outworked in God's wonderful time. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, and so the politics and the social system has a goal, and I just have, they have a goal, so you have to guess what it is. You didn't have to guess, but here's the platform. So you have to guess what it is. You want to know what I'm going to do? I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. So we got it in writing. Well, we ought to know that now. But we are not going to say what we are going to do. We're going to tell you we're not going to do it. But then we're going to do it anyway. But as far as you, you need to know we're not going to do it, but we're going to do it. Now, having said that, that puts us in a kind of a place where you have to think about that. Now, God, here's the world system doing what it does. Now, God, what do we know? History is being outworked, and God, you're working. The Philistines, the Jebusites, the Hivites, and all of them in Joshua's day, the two spies saw them in a great host and a great overwhelming force. There's no way. In fact, the Israelites as a unit, as a nation, lined up with the 10 of them and said, we are as grasshoppers in the light of it. There's no way for us to even survive this, so we're not going to do anything. But God is going to do what he's doing. And they didn't believe, and they spent 40 years, 38 more years in the wilderness. That's what they did. Now, they didn't have to do that, but they didn't believe. God, are you doing what you're doing? Here we are at this point in history, and history is being outworked in a very momentous and special way. And in the process, it's being outworked not only globally, the European community, European Union, etc., has their wonderful sheets of paper. You want to read them? Not this, not that. But they have their wonderful, they made them in the 50s or whatever, and made all their commitments and did them. But they already told you. They want to rebuild Babel. They want to get Babel back up. So now, having said that and keeping that in mind, so here's all the global, and you got China. You never had China like you have it now. You got Iran back in business. You've got Russia, and you got Russia, and you got Israel. You got the United States. All of these and the rest of everything, it's all in a state of flux and movement, and so we have that. It's an awesome setting we're in. Now, and it's overwhelming because there's no way to fight this from a human standpoint because the God of this world, you can't tell the devil, go away. You can't tell him to quit. You can't stop his governing of every nation. How are you going to stop him? How are you going to stop the human old nature? You aren't going to stop that. No, it's all busy, busy, busy. Isn't going to go away, no matter what you think, no matter what you feel. It isn't going away. It's staying right here with us. It's here every day. And we face it, we live in it. But now we live in it, but not of it. So we need to be able to utilize, to put together the understanding so that we can plow through this in a way that honors God and gives us the benefits that are ours in Christ Jesus. So now, having said that, and here's our country, here's our energy, and all of it is affecting us very, very fast, and all of it is done in order to make it so that there's no time to sit down and figure out anything. So, and it's going to affect us and affect the whole country, let alone other countries. It'll affect our country very much. And everyone that did whatever, thought whatever, they're going to face the same gas prices. They're going to face the same everything. They're going to face it, no matter who you are, unless you're way up there, and it doesn't matter then to them. So in the process, we have the economic, we have the sexual, we have the bathrooms, we have schools. You know all this stuff more than I do. All of it's being affected in every way. Personally effective, it's the rules are coming down. And that's what they're doing. So in the process, here's the taxes coming up, maybe not quite yet. They're going to hold back on that a little bit. And here's the education and all of this, 1776, and going back to the 1690, whatever it was, on the slavery, the America history, that's what they got. And they're going back to that. What is America about? America is about raising, making slaves. Slaves. It's about slaves. Not about freedom. What's freedom? Well, God came along in his wonderful grace and raised up the pilgrims, etc. And what did they pursue? Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. We, the people of these United States, a republic with a declaration and a constitution. All of those are wonderful things. But as the Pope would say, I'll do that tonight to fill you in that part of it, the Pope say, what? It's all selfishness. All selfishness. Capitalism is selfishness. Individualism. Dog eat dog, to say it. Dog eat dog. That's what it is. So hang on, you have to get the thing. It's overwhelming and wonderfully so. So is it going to work? It's going to work. It's going to work out. Wow. So now, and so it's all going to happen and moving, and it's happening so that everything is done in such a way, such speed, so that if you just think of a dam, and you're trying to fix the dam, and the dam leaks, but there's 100 holes in the dam, and you only have so many hands and so much cement, and you're trying to the holes, and you put a little bit over here, and you couldn't finish it, so you got to get over here, and then the cement pops off. So it's awful hard to fix anything. Another way to think of it is you've understood that if you had a hospital situation, emergency room, and a big something happens, and there's 100 people that are hurt all at once, and there's two of you. Now, what are you going to do? They're all hurting. You're trying to be over there. God, it's this, the devil, darkness is wonderfully smart. So, awful smart. So therefore, how can you tackle the job? Make everything fast, many, much, in the process. So in process, everything's going a thing. And then you've got the media. Media isn't, that's why we have to even say it. Because the media isn't doing what it should do. And these general communication systems, Facebook and all of those different things, all of those things that you know better than I do, and all of that's there. And they aren't. Who's going to? If they told us, we'd never be in this lot, but they don't want to tell us. They aren't going to tell us. They're going to tell us at all. Going to give us the wrong information. And we have the, and to add to that, with, and I got to get on with it, but you know all these things. And then you got the border wall, and the border wall is not going to be honored. And therefore, thousands and thousands of people are going to come in, drugs and criminals and sexual everything, all kind of thousands, not 10 people, thousands. What does that do? Well, that, if I wouldn't want to live in Texas or something where they're all crossing the border or whatever, that'd be pretty tough. But they're where they're going to go, to Chicago, the gangs, everyone, drugs, riots, bad guys, letting all the criminals out, you know, all that stuff. And the criminals coming in and the bad guys coming in and they have a heyday in what they do. What does that do? Well, how do you, like the dam, where do you stop it? Where do you put your something to stop this thing? It's pretty hard, pretty hard. And when the system is condoning it and making it go, that makes it very difficult to proceed, if you ask me. So all of it keeps us so busy, and we can't really solve or fix anything. We do little to nothing in the process. And so therefore, our declaration and all of that is irrelevant, actually, because it's what's it about? It's about life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Well, that's an individual. Who do you think you are to have the right to pursue right life and liberty and the pursuit? Who are you to be happy? What right have you got to be happy? You know, the global system. Global system, no one has a right. Everyone should be equal. Everyone should be equal. They get the same pay, the same hours of sleep. That's equal. That's fair. Only fair. Anyway, that's, you got that going, all of that. Now, having said that little bit, and there's a little, you know all these different things that are all over the place. And I know some of you don't like to even listen to them, but you need to understand it's there. And in the process of Joshua going forward, if they did, and when they do, when they cross the Jordan, they will. And they go up against the same walled cities, the same armies, the same giants, the same chariots of iron, and they defeat them in 7 years. They defeat 33 kings and their armies without losing hardly. We don't even find, I think there's one spot where a handful of them got killed, and we have no record of the other guys, the Israelites, getting slaughtered. They just win. God's with them. God, I got it. Now, so here we are. As my Father sent me, so send I you. So now, having said that little bit, over, if you would, to 2 Timothy again. And 2 Timothy, picking up, please. And you recall 2 Timothy, I'm going back just a little bit to give you the sense. Now we looked at Joshua going in, and when they got across the Jordan, no problems. They claimed and received God's will at that point in history. Here we are, and here's the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul is about to depart from this scene on the earth. He's going to die. And he gives instructions to Timothy in Ephesus and all of this. Now, you need to remember, in June 18, 64 A.D., Nero set fire, had fire to Rome. There's 14 districts in Rome, 10 of them were set fire, 125 acres in the middle of Rome out there. And they were set fire. And they burned it. Burned for 6 days. Burned it down. Why did he burn it down? Because he looked from his little outlook up there in the other section of the city, and he said, I want to have a nice, big, little, nice house with a garden and everything. I'm exaggerating. And everything going to be built. Now, what are we going to do? We got to clean out that whole area. And that's what a fire was for. Leveled the city, had to start all over again. And Herod had his palace built, his gardens and all of those different things in that area. And he did that. And persecution, because Nero blamed the Christians. The Christians are responsible for this. And then already persecution, but boy, then persecution. What are we going to do? We're going after Christians who did this. They're the enemy of Rome. They believe Jesus Christ is Lord versus Caesar is Lord. You can't have that. You can't have that. So now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, here's 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy 67, 68 AD, and in there. And remember, Nero's going to die in 68. He goes off and dies. Nero does. And but in the process, Paul is going to be killed. Paul's in prison the second time again. And he's in prison. So now, Paul, you're writing, and what are you telling Timothy, who's in Ephesus over here? What about the world? What is it like to live in your day, 67, 68 AD? What is it like now? Here's Nero doing all this stuff. Wow. Tell me what it's like. Well, and it's a horrible time. Now, Timothy, you need to understand some things. Therefore, 2 Timothy, check 2 Timothy if I can, in chapter 3. Timothy's going to help him understand. It's not going to be a picnic. You can't be in this, the God of this world, the prince of the power of the air, and expect to have him want to be at peace with God, with each other, false peace. But with God, no way. No way about God. No way Jesus is Lord. No way. Therefore, 2 Timothy, Paul, as you write, you're telling Timothy, this verse 1, this know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, etc., 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 etc. Verse 15, having a form of godliness, but denying the power, the dynamic thereof, from such turn away, etc. Over to verse 13, but evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. It's not going to get, it's a horrible time, horrible time. Chapter 4, verse 3, for the time will come, when they will not endure sound doctrine. They don't want to know the Bible. They don't really do it. They don't want to know that. Will not endure sound, but after their own lusts shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They want them scratched, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned unto fables. And so God, that, wow. Verse 10, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed into Thessalonica, Grecians, to Galatia, Titus, unto Dalmatia. Now, he is, Paul's in Rome, prison, going to die. Nero's going to kill him. He can't die on the cross. Peter could, but Paul can't. Paul's a Roman citizen. And it's against the law to do that to a Roman citizen. So therefore, chapter 4, verse 16. What are the conditions there, Paul? At my first answer or defense, no man stood with me. In other words, I stood up and tried to say, what did I do wrong or what's wrong? At my answer, defense, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. That's the same as our Lord. They're all going to leave. Who wants to stand when you're getting clobbered? Who's going to fix you back in Washington again? Oh, that was good. I didn't want to fix it. Thank you. We had the wall, and the wall's down. You can't find the wall. Now, what's awesome, and that makes it so what? You're busy, 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 trying to fix everything. All the people coming across the border and everything goes with it. But then we're going to build a wall and a fence around the Capitol to protect us. So at headquarters, we can keep the business going. We aren't going to let anyone in to disturb what we're doing till it's too late. You got it? I thought that was interesting. I thought that was so good. You may not, but I thought that was neat. I said, man, you guys are pretty sharp. Now, so God, here we are. Look at verse 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might fear, and I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And so David, here's Paul, and Paul is rescued. And Paul is in a terrible, terrible condition, a fix, a situation. And Timothy, I'm telling you, you need to be with it and looking to God in order that all things might be put together. Therefore, what are we going to do? Well, 2 Timothy chapter 1, as you know, picking up, please, the admonition in 2 Timothy. And you will note, please, in verse 6. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou stir up the gift of God that is in thee by the putting on of my hands. In other words, Paul recognized God's dealing with the heart of Timothy, and he showed a public, by putting hands on, to show the public expression of approval, of recognizing God, the guy's really saved. The guy's saved. Timothy's saved. Now, so what's Timothy need to do? Timothy needs to go and stir up the fire. Now, remember the word stir up? We looked at it. It's, think of the word again and the word fire. The word fire. Again and fire. In other words, and alive. Again, alive, and fire. Three words make up the word stir. Rekindle the smoldering fire. The fire is almost all you see is the ashes and the little smoke. And you need to get the oxygen on there. You need to fan, get the fire, stir the fire, rekindle the fire, restart the fire in there. It's going to go out. Restart the fire. Get it going. Timothy, you got to get the fire going. Now, Timothy isn't Paul, so Paul wouldn't have to tell him. But Timothy needed a little push to understand what he's up against, because Paul's going. And what's Timothy going to face in just 2 years? Titus is going to come in and kill over 1 million Jews as they take the city. Wow. Timothy, you've got to stay with it because you're going to face this. And that's awesome. You thought, that's something. Wait till it happens. Like in Jeremiah's day, the city's going down. Here's Paul's day and thereafter, and the city's going down by Titus of Rome. Now, having said that, stir up the gift that is in thee and get it on fire. Move it, let it go, get busy, get heated up. And in the process, verse 7, God hath not given us the spirit of power, of fear. God has not given us the spirit of fear, I should say. And fear has to do with the word cowardness. It means to shrink back. It means to see something that is you can't handle and you draw back. You step back. You don't want to get near it. You're shrinking. Fear to shrink. Cowardness. Shrinking back. Don't be a coward. And you remember, we just did it on Wednesday in that. To be strong and of good courage. to wrap yourself around. Let all of these things that when everything, like in David, everything goes cuckoo and bad, what are you going to do? They're going to have to take each one of those things, that everything that bothers you, every hole in the dam, give it to God. Give it to God and then take on whatever you can do. Do what you can do. Wrap yourself around God tightly, tightly, tightly. So that's where you're going to be. Hang on to God in each thing you do, have to face and do. And we shared that Wednesday. Now, so here's the fire. And the fire is to be understood in the heart of Timothy. And he needs to understand that in the process, God needs to go and help him. Now, what about the fire? Now, in the light of the fire, in the light of all of that, God, here we are looking. Now, in a fire. Now, God, I want to understand fire. We're going to do two things, at least one at this point, and to understand it. So, God, I want to understand. You need me to stir the fire in my heart because it's cool, not hot. And you said to the church in Laodicea, we're at the end of the age, which is where we are, I wish you were hot or cold. I hate the middle. Well, you can't have the middle. You can't have it halfway. You're either with or against, that's all. So God, what do we want to do? Well, Timothy, you've got to be hot, hot. Get the fire going. How are you going to handle the fire of Rome and the fires, the burn in the city and the persecution? How are you going to handle that? Make sure the fire in your heart is hotter than the fire out there. Make sure whatever is going on out there that they're excited about and doing, make sure in your heart that you are more involved than you're looking to God to be fired up, to run, to understand, not to fall apart, not to be like the 10 spies that said, we can't, we're grasshoppers, we may be ants, but irregardless, we need to look to God to deal with our heads and deal with our hearts. Now, so therefore we need to be awake, be revived, we need to fuel, we got the fuel, that's what? That's our vessel of clay and our little old heart, soul, and spirit inside of us. And God, we need to, and we receive the Lord as our Savior, and God, that relationship is to be fired up. Don't let it, I'll give it to you a different way. I just did it with Alan, or whatever. Now, your head is connected to your body, true? Yeah. And in the process, here's your spleen and all these different things that you got, parts of your body, and they are intricately and awesomely oneness. They enjoy and participate in a oneness in this body because they're in this body and they have a relationship to the head. Every part is connected to each other by way of the systems and connected to the head, who runs the whole system. That's what it is. Now, so when you get saved, God places you in Christ in the body. What does that mean to you? What does it mean to be in the body? No. What's it mean when you go Stomp and Shop versus Price Right versus some other place? What's it mean? The people. You're part of something intricately involved, awesome. But that isn't what most professing believers understand. No, they don't do that. They just don't do that. Don't tell me they do. All I got to do is look out and you look at each other, look at your own, not you guys, but it's what it is. Now, God, here we are looking, And Timothy, we need to be fired up. That's right. Because we lose it. We lose our first love, like in Revelation 4, 2. We lose the first love. We lose the relationship with God. Now, so I want to see how that works. I want to fire my little old heart up. I want to feed it. I feed it with the oxygen of heaven. I have to feed it with that. Not with oxygen makes the fire go. That's true. But we need the oxygen from heaven. I need the breath from heaven. I need God's wonderful person to make this go. It ain't going to go apart from you, God. So therefore I'm going to have ashes. And that's what the word stir means, to awaken the fire hidden down in the ashes. The smoldering, smoke but no flame. God, you got to help us. Therefore, over to Romans, and let's see how it works. Romans in chapter 12. And you will know, please, in Romans chapter 12, remember summing up all 11 chapters and everything. So we come to chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, for what? That you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable, most logical service. It's the right thing, obvious. If you're part of the body, you belong to the head. The liver belongs to the kidneys and all that. That it's what it is. Therefore, what are we going to do? A living. Now Christ died on the cross. He died, he was sacrificed, died, and he rose again. Now what are we? What's our job? We're already dead. And God has given us his life. What are we going to do? We're representing Christ who died on the cross by his resurrected life. So God, what are we going to do? We're going to be a living sacrifice. What does a sacrifice mean? The Holocaust, Leviticus, the burnt offering, the whole thing belongs to God. We're going to pick it up. Now, in the process, here's this living sacrifice. We aren't going to be a dead one hanging on the cross like Nero did and others, crucified them. No, not like that. No, going to be a living sacrifice. Crucified, but you can't die. That's what you're going to be. Now, a living sacrifice. Now, what does it mean to be a living sacrifice? As the Father sent me, so send I you. So now, a living sacrifice. Now, God, help me some more with that. Colossians. Colossians in chapter 2. And in Colossians chapter 2, all kinds of ways, this is just one little way to refresh your mind, our minds. Colossians chapter 2, picking up, if I can, in verse 12. Buried with him in baptism, identification. Christ died, you died, buried, you were buried. He rose again, you rose again. He seated, you're seated. Verse 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. Now, verse 13, and you, being dead in your sins and uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, that means to make alive, together, how so, with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. So God, what are we doing? Well, we are to understand we died, and Christ died and crucified us on the cross, and he rose again. So when I received him as my Savior, I as a dead man received him, and he in my death he gave me his life. And in his life I'm able to go and represent him, and I represent him. I'm alive. I'm a dead man. Living, a living sacrifice. That's what I am, a living sacrifice. But in the process, and being forgiven, I have a unique relationship to God, the believer does, because of Christ's death on the cross and his rising again. So therefore, it's an awesome thing. Reckon, think of Romans 6, you don't have to turn there. Reckon yourself dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God in Christ Jesus. So God would understand. So God, what are we? Living, that's right. Living sacrifice, because you're representing the death of Christ by his life. That together. How do you recognize you don't walk around like dead, you walk around alive, bearing witness to who he is, his wonderful person. Now, having said that, and you know without turning there over in the, if you went there, in Exodus in chapter 3 and 1 through 5 and that, and Moses is introduced to God after all these years. He's 80 years old. And he's introduced to God. That doesn't mean he didn't walk with God, or in the sense he knew God and trusted God, but never like this relationship, though, that he's going to have. And God says, out of the burning bush, Moses, Moses, and Moses responded, took the shoes off his feet. It was holy ground. That's right, Moses. Now, God, what did you do? What is it do? Now, the bush is burning, and that's what Moses said. That bush, I've passed that bush hundreds of times taking care of these sheep, and that bush has been there, gold dried out bush, but the bush didn't burn. No, it didn't. And yet it was full of fire, and it didn't burn. Nope. And God, that's how God got his attention. God, what are you going to do? Moses is understood that here's the bush, just an ordinary bush. And God, in his awesome grace and kindness, is able to use the bush to demonstrate and share his wonderful person, that God is God forever and ever. So therefore, Moses, did you learn a lesson? I did. That's why, are you able to go up to Mount Sinai all these different times and spend 40 days and nights up there? Can you do that? No food, no water, nope. Boy, is it hot. Why could you do that? Well, God introduced himself in the burning bush. And God said, in the bush, I'm able to burn and not burn the bush up. Now, God. And so here's Moses up there on Mount Sinai, and he enjoys us, is no problem at all. And as he goes up and down, he's there. And God is going to honor him. Israel, can you be taken, exited out of Egypt into the Mount Sinai? And at Mount Sinai, why aren't you guys burned up down there at the bottom of the mountains? Because God is able to take and be God, cloud of fire, cloud by day and fire by night, and able to be in, you're in the presence of God, but you don't burn up. No. And you ought to be very conscious of God. Israel, every day you look up, there's the cloud. Every night you look up, the cloud. When is God missing? Never. He shepherded them as we shared together. Now, so here's Moses and God, you did that. So can we be in the presence of God? God, you want the fire stirred up. Well, the fire's going to get me, consume. No. Remember, Hebrews 12, 29. Our God, what do you say when you're all done? Everything's got to be shaken. God said, I'm going to shake everything and make it all come out right. And then he adds, verse 29, and by the way, I am a consuming fire. And that's why it's going to come out right. Hang on. Now, God, you got to stir up the fire. That's right. And God, can you do it? And then what do we travel through time? And we get to the Daniel 3 and the three friends, fellow travelers with Daniel. And what do we have? Well, we have the fiery furnace. And they're in the fiery furnace. The hotter the people, you couldn't even get near it because you'd die just getting near it. The people that threw them in died. Wow, but they didn't, and then you know the wonderful thing that God did, wonderful thing, and God had him there, and Nebuchadnezzar said, hey, you guys shouldn't be doing that, and all three of them walked out, they came out, and not a smell of fire, not a hair of the head was burned, That's awesome. That's awesome. God said, I'm a consuming fire. That's right. And I want the fire in your heart. I want it fired up. Whoa, no. Hold it. I want to understand. What does it mean to get fired up? Now, and while you have that in mind, over, if you would, please, First Thessalonians. First Thessalonians, if I may, at chapter 5, you recall it. This is God's will, for you want to know what God's will is for your life easily, no problem. First Thessalonians 5, verse 16, both these present tense, a command. Chapter 5, verse 16, rejoice evermore, that means be happy, 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 rejoice. But, no, you should be rejoicing. You're more than a conqueror, etc. And to do it, pray, have your relationship to God, but don't ever quit. Keep your relationship to God. Keep the fuel, keep the fire in the fuel. Keep the oxygen in the fuel. Pray without ceasing. Don't stop your relationship. And in everything give thanks. Why? Because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. All of those are present. Do them. That's not hard. What is God's will for my life? That's your God's will for your life. Are you doing that? Are you rejoicing? Are you keeping your relationship? Are you giving thanks in everything? You want to know what God's will is? What God want me to do? That he wants you to do. And if you don't do that, what's the sense in asking for something else? If you aren't going to do that, I want something for my life, purpose in my life. Well, go ahead. God gave you something. Now, why aren't you doing the very basics as a way of life? And therefore, the next thing, verse 19, quench not the Spirit of God. Quench, to extinguish. Extinguish. Think of the branding iron, red hot. And the red hot branding iron goes on the animal to brand the animal, brand it. You wouldn't go and take an iron, a cold iron, and you wouldn't go and take a hot iron and stick it in a bunch of water, cold water, and then put it on, because it won't make a brand. Where is the brand? When is the brand made? It's when it's hot. Fire. Fire makes the hot brand. You're branded. Paul was marked in his life, branded by God. That's what you want. God, that's what I want. The stir up, what are you saying, Paul, to Timothy? Stir up, rekindle the fire. Get the ashes that are down, get the fire down under the ashes to awaken itself, to quicken itself. Quench not. Don't, the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God wants to fire you up. The Spirit of God wants God's will for your life. The Spirit of God wants you to rejoice, helps you rejoice. The Spirit of God keeps your relationship, makes your relationship work. Abide in me and I abide in you. Without me you can do nothing. You need that. And we need to have the will of God with thanksgiving. So we live with thanksgiving. So we aren't going around, oh, I got to... No, thanksgiving. That doesn't mean you're smiling all the time. It just means your heart is resting in the wonderful presence of God. And that's what you do. And you can have that in the pain, headache, with tears running down your eyes. You can rest, be resting in a great God and trusting him. That's what you do. Now, so having said that a little bit and keeping that in mind, over to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. God wants to do that. And 1 Corinthians chapter 3, we add another piece to make sure we don't forget. And in the process, 1 Corinthians 3, sliding down in the light of the wonderful context of the Bema Seat of Christ, where we stand in judgment. So this is for the believers. And what about the believers? Verse 14, if any man's work abide, which he hath built thereupon, he shall receive reward. But, verse 15, if any man's work, verse 15, shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. Fire. How are you saved? By fire. How do you enjoy being saved? By fire. Fire up your heart. Otherwise, you aren't enjoying being saved. You got ashes. That doesn't mean you're lost or unsaved. It means you aren't enjoying. You aren't functioning as you ought to be. You have to be saved. And God is a consuming fire to save. God, you have to save us. That's right. And that's what you're going to do. Because God can't have anything that isn't there. Now, God, hang on. One other place in closing. Over if you would to 1 Peter. In 1 Peter, if I can. And in 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter's going to tell us, going to be the penman. Now, God, we have to be saved. We're saved by fire. So what do you know? Well, if I'm going to ever get to heaven, it's because God's fire, God cleaned me up. God burned up the dross. God got rid of that old nature, my fleshly body. He got rid of all of it and transferred me into his wonderful presence and made me a new creature in Christ. And Christ in me, the hope of glory. He gave me his life and got rid of everything. The mortal became immortal and the corruptible became incorruptible. And I was in his presence. And God did that. God's going to do that. That's right. Now, so having said that, in verse 5, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Now, what about the revelation? Wherein you greatly rejoice, though now, not then, now, for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold, many, many, many kinds of tests and trials, all kinds. We just read it with the going in the chariots of iron of the walled cities, and here's Timothy going in, and Rome, and Nero, and persecutions, and everything, and not coming out good. It's all going downhill, apostasy. It's not coming out. Will I find body of truth when I come? No. It's going to go from hot, cold. It's going to go, we don't, neutral. We don't need anything, God. Thank you, Revelation chapter 3. They would say, no, God, we're fine. We'll let you know if we need anything. No good. No good. Without me, you can do nothing. So, now God, then, that leads us to verse 7. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. Why does it have to be tried? Fire, test everything. How are you going to get rid of the dross if I don't have it? I was trying to find a piece of gold that I discovered in the backyard, and I just couldn't find any. So, here's the gold. What do we need to do? We need to purify this. That's what we need to do. We need to purify it. Don't be looking in the yard now. There's no gold. Now, if we need to purify it, that's right. How do we purify it? With fire. With fire. With fire. That's how we do it. Fire. How are we going to get it? Now, so the trying of our faith is working, it makes us come forth as precious, more precious than gold. Gold, more precious than gold. Now, here is an apple. It's a real apple. Real apple. Now, that apple is a dead apple. Understand? If it was on the tree, it'll be breathing the tree, living on the tree. But this apple isn't anymore on the tree. It's dead. And it's dying. And if I leave it here, and a month from now I come back, it's going to be rotting and dried up. Isn't it? You leave fruit, it's going to be dried up. What? It's dead and going to die. That's what it's going to do. Now, God, what are you telling? You need to get saved. You need to get saved. And when you get saved, God does a wonderful thing, and he comes in, you receive him as your Savior, and God in you is your relationship to God, is now over, relationship to God overrides your relationship to your old nature, to your body of sin from the first Adam. And so you have a unique relationship. And that relationship is to be exercised and do it. And the trying of your faith is going to do what? It's going to make you come forth as gold. This houses this. This is put aside. And this is what comes out. Gold. Gold. That's what it's about. Do you understand? Fire. You can't have this without fire. You have to be purged, and dross has to be taken off. You can't get it without the fire. What's to do with fire? God's wonderful words help us. So we get all the dumb things going on around us in the world, a global system and every other system. We're encompassed with it. We're surrounded with it. It isn't going to go away. It's going to increase. But we're here to be a light. And in the process, God's seeking to get you to be gold. It's your turn in your lap to be gold. That's what God's doing. You know, without turning there in Job 23, that when I am tested and when I'm all done, I'm going to come forth as gold. I'm going to come forth as gold. That's what you're going to do, God. I am. But look at all the problems. Are there. And remember, another whole world, the whole world isn't even on this page. They don't care anything about what we just mumbled out to you. They don't care 2 cents about it. So they, all that's happening, with the platforms and the global and the communism and socialism and all the other stuff, we're being swamped with it. They don't care. Do you understand? They adjust. That's what, if you live in Russia, you adjust. Live in China, you adjust. You live in Iran, you adjust. You may not like some things, but hey, you still get pizza or whatever. What can I tell you? We're quite content. So it's just the little remnants here and there across the planet Earth that are saved, looking to God. We aren't stopping it. What we're doing is to be running in it and through it. As my Father sent me, so send I you. Lights in the darkness, in your death, showing the Lord's death by way of his life. Showing the Lord's death by way of his life in you. And that's what you're doing. It isn't hard. You don't help it body-wise, physical-wise, mental-wise, morally, socially, whatever. All of that's there. But God saves us 1,000,000%. Wow. Completely. How so? By fire. By fire. That's how so. And nothing can stand God's fire that doesn't pass his test. Nothing. That's why the new heavens and the new earth is going to be what? Burned up. But a new one, you can't burn it up. But this one you can. This one you can. We got to quit. I hope you got a little bit of fire. Fixed fire. We'll add to that tonight, I hope. Rightly so. Our Father and God, we look to you to deal with our heads and our hearts. Thank you very much for caring. Give us an understanding, God. Make sure, A, God, we're truly saved and resting in your finished work, having a unique relationship to you, God, with thanksgiving, exercising, Spirit of God, your wonderful ministry to give us that relationship that without you, God, you said we can't do anything. So thank you very, very, very much. In Christ's name, give safety, encouragement. God, help the sick, the weak, the wayward, God, here we are. Thank you. In Christ's name, amen.